Hello and welcome to Betrayer with a Heart of Gold episode of Dave Wright's podcast. I'm your host, Dave Wright. Each week here, I like to share the next chapter from my novel, Soul. As always, at the end of the episode, I will talk a bit about the chapter, where it came from, how it came together, or anything that comes to mind. So if you're interested, then stick around at the end. For now, let's get into it. This week is Chapter 20, Soul and Tommy. Present day. I made my way to the loaded run and lurked out the back like a fat kid stealing sweets, sweating and looking forward to the good stuff. I knew when Tommy got off and was waiting for him. The back door opened into the disturbingly familiar smelling alley, light and noise spilling out hungrily into the night air. Tommy stood there for a moment, framed by the light, talking to someone inside. The door snapped shut, the night huffing back into place like a disturbed cat. As he made his way towards me, I spoke softly into the night air, trying to not disturb it.
Tommy, why have you been holding out on me?
One hand on the pacemaker, the other shrugged into my coat, trying to avoid the bite of the air. The chill was starting to really set into my stunted legs. He stopped, no flinching or surprise on his face. I fought the urge to step further back into the darkness, as when Tommy is inside, surrounded by the gleaming brass and the tassels on his little uniform, it's easy to forget his 7-foot tattooed frame. Out here, accusing the man who I counted as one of my closest friends, I was reminded that his fist could easily eclipse my head. We stood there, the soft night swirling around us, the smell enveloping us.
Tommy.
I wish I didn't sound so hurt. This whole thing had been dredging up memories I thought had long since been buried. The faint sound of an argument reached us, not breaking the silence, extending it. He just stared at me. I knew now I was not wrong. I just hoped I was not making a mistake. My ribs creaked as I settled onto my heels. He started to rumble to life.
Holding out, yes. Lying, no. That is important, soul.
His usually booming voice dampened. He paused.
Important to me, and I hope you see that as well.
His arms came up, and I resisted the urge to make a stupid mistake and kept the peacemaker snuggled in my pocket. He crossed his arms against his broad chest. It was my turn. I knew what I wanted, but not how to ask it. If he had really betrayed me years ago, then he was probably still on the take now. Although I still had not figured out why. He'd been on the straight for years now. He prided himself on it. Also, I was never so crass as to bring up what I'd done for him. What I had done for him. It sparked. I felt stupid. Stupid and ashamed.
Your kids.
I breathed. There was a hint of a shrug.
If I talk and you don't respond, whatever deal you have could still hold.
The barest flicker of his eyes.
You put me onto the Barley Boys. Although I now think you wouldn't have done that if you knew I was going to get somewhere. You couldn't help yourself though, could you?
A faint grunt. I pushed on.
Do you know where?
He shifted his weight.
Okay.
I was on the right track. Finally.
No crews, that's too obvious. I can end this, Tommy. I'm gonna say a place. You don't need to say anything, just...
I cast about trying to think through how I can get him to confirm this without breaking the unknown promise.
Just take a swing at me if I'm wrong.
My freshly broken nose raised a protest at his planet-sized fist. I breathed in.
The Sunken Grand.
And closed my eyes and concentrated. The pain never came. Silence, finally broken by the soft sound of,
"My kids, anything happens to them, soul."
As Tommy walked past me and disappeared into the evening. Back in my shambles of a home office, the music still filling the air, longing for a brew in my grip. Three ball. Another Levi Prime. Betrayed by Tommy, who had been feeding information on my progress the entire time. I shook my head. Every man had his price. If Three Ball knew I was coming, then he would go to ground, and I would never hear from him again. If I showed my face, then I would get a short, sharp, mostly terminal rebuke. I did not know how long Tommy would hold out sharing what he knew with the Seeker. I didn't know the full details of their deal. This couldn't be like Bronski, going in dick-waving, or the Barley Boys where I knew I was relatively safe. I could always... No, I knew what I needed to do, what I should have done all those years ago, what I swore to myself I would never do again. I had made my choices. Standing up, I felt my legs twinge, memories of him flooding my mind. God, how long since I had seen him. I wished he was here now. I ached. Removing my overcoat and folding it gently, I placed it onto the chair. Making my way to my desk, I fish around at the back of one of the drawers and pull out a dusty pack of incense. The smell instantly transported me back to another life. Lighting it and settling it into the cradle on my desk, I started to clear a space on the floor for me to sit. Sitting and breathing steadily, I thought about the day, of the pain I felt when realizing that Tommy had sold me out, of missing my friend, of the choices I needed to make, of the drinking and destruction. I breathed deeply. I had to finish this. I had to deal with Three Ball. There was only one way I could do it with certainty. Looking inward, I began searching. It had been years since I'd done this. I knew what I was looking for. Who I was looking for. That was Chapter 20, Sol and Tommy. This was an exciting episode. The dual timelines are starting to converge. The present day of Sol now knowing exactly where the Seeker is and having a plan of how to get to him. He doesn't like his plan, but it's better than his maid idea. The past with the Seeker coming to terms with himself and manifesting his super and becoming a prime in his own right. This was another chapter where I got feedback that my writing is too subtle, that I hold too much back. In the first drafts, I thought it was incredibly obvious who the leak was. I'd written in the scene showing Three Ball keeping tabs on Sol and knowing his moves, so he was of course being fed information. But I was told that it came out of nowhere. How were people supposed to figure out it was Tommy? I was convinced it was obvious as I tried to keep the story tight and not write in too many characters, so narrowing down who the leak was should have been easy, right? Of course not. I wrote the damn thing, so obviously I knew who the leak was. I had left almost no crumbs for the readers to pick up on as to what was happening, so I went back and expanded on their relationship, showing that Sol was the one who had rescued Tommy's kids, that Tommy had gotten out of the game yet was still knowledgeable as to what was going on with all the gangs. He was full of information. I also really drilled in the idea that Three Ball was unscrupulous in his retribution. He would kill everyone a person cared about to get his way. I'm still not sure it was enough. However, I think the nature of releasing these chapters once per week works against the reader, and makes it difficult to keep it all in their head. If someone sits down and reads or listens to this story in one or two sittings, then I think it would be much easier to figure it out. But it's been literal months since Sol's interaction with Tommy, so this will again probably seem to come out of nowhere. I only hope people enjoy the revelation and don't think I'm being a smug prick. To that end as well, I really don't want the final confrontation of Three Ball and Sol to feel like it comes out of nowhere. So when I went back and did a bunch of rewriting, I leant heavily into it at the end of this chapter as well. I spent a long time thinking about their final confrontation and how it would play out and what would be fun for the readers, and I realized that if they get to the confrontation and I've not given the readers enough information, then yes, I would feel super smart, but that would make me a smug prick. It would be like doing a magic trick, but making everyone close their eyes. knowing how the trick is done doesn't make it less interesting. It's like Dungeons and Dragons. The Dungeon Master is not the enemy. Everyone's at the table is there to have fun, together. If readers get to the end of the story and the author reveals something they had no way of figuring out or knowing, that doesn't mean the author wins. Well, that's all for this week. Don't forget, I have a Patreon up if you want to throw some support my way. You can find the details on my website, davewrights.com. That's Dave, WRIGHTS.com. Hopefully, I'll see you all next week. Take care.